In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Long ago in ancient Christian history, this third Sunday after Easter was labeled Jubilate Sunday. That's Latin for Rejoice Sunday. The lessons of the day were selected specifically to generate joy and rejoicing. Easter Sunday was just 2 weeks ago. In this particular year, Easter appeared from all outward measurement a bit subdued. After all, spending every day and night at home, there's plenty of good reason for that. One can only eat so much chocolate. One can only binge watch so much Netflix or Amazon Prime. One can only check in on the world, national, state, and local numbers communicating the cases of infection and the deaths of this epidemic so many times per day to try to determine for sure whether it's really good news or is it bad news. Normally, as we transition from April to May, the warming weather and the greening landscape give us daily glimpses of summer hope. This year, of all years, the warmth and color are excruciatingly slow in coming. The usual outdoor activities are mostly off limits anyway. Everything, everywhere, doesn't just seem a little bit off. Rather, it is more than just a little off, and everyone knows it. Fascinating, isn't it, then, that this year we are reading systematically, week by Easter season week, through Peter's first letter to the early Christian church. And here, toward the end of his first chapter, he is summarizing everything he has opened his letter with. And he chooses to circle back to remind us Easter Christians how our knowledge of the eternal God and eternal life through that eternal God makes us strangers here in our current world. It's almost as if a couple thousand years ago, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write a letter that would be perfect reading for you and me this particular spring as we wade knee-deep through the strangeness of this particular crisis. Our journey in this letter today is only four verses long. Peter will lead us to a conclusion that our faith and hope, being in God, changes everything. But the journey to that conclusion is worth slowing down for and taking a longer look at related truths along the way. So let's read those verses again. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. On a daily basis, you and I are reminded that a worldwide pandemic caused by a virus is a great equalizer. Not money, status, age, geography, intelligence, nor any other factor plays a role in anyone protecting themselves from this virus or falling victim to it. Peter begins this section of this letter by reminding each of us how much COVID-19 is really like human sin. You and I know we pray to a God who does not play favorites in any way. Every human being is equally damaged and doomed by both inherited sin and our actual sins. Yet every human soul is equally paid for in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 19, Peter emphasizes how in the eons of eternity before time began, our Father chose his plan of action and his agent of action to save his human children. How important it is then for us to understand how living our lives daily in reverent fear is so appropriate. We take our God and his word seriously. We take his commandments and his will for our lives seriously. We take his threats of judgment and eternal punishment on those who reject him and live their rejection daily very seriously. But we also take his promises of healing, love, and hope just as seriously. We measure everything of our current world and our eternal hopes in this same reverent fear. We truly live every day of our lives with Easter realities intentionally displayed for our minds and our hearts to keep our reverent fear adjusted and in balance to exactly the correct setting. That's because we value what was necessary for us to be redeemed from what we rightly deserved. The empty way of life Peter references here was the empty shell, the husk of Old Testament religion that the Pharisees had handed down to anyone willing to listen in their moment of history. Examine that empty way of life in the Scriptures, and you will find it sounds and looks a whole lot like what our culture of recent generations has handed down to us. Do your best. Be your best. Earn your way. Balance your every failure with a good work. Just make sure you are among the people who live the morality the majority of the people around you accept, and you'll be okay with God. But Peter makes it clear here that nothing we can possess and nothing we could ever do would answer the emptiness and doom of that way of life. No, Peter turns our focus of hope and faith completely away from ourselves and anything material at all. He points us squarely and solely at the Christ, the Lamb. He reminds us that it was not the things that this world values most highly, silver or gold, that made Jesus the perfect answer to our sin. While Jesus actually is the one who created silver and gold and has always truly possessed every ounce of silver and gold, he had to empty himself completely of every ounce of wealth to offer himself as the sacrifice for sin. It was his perfect, flawless life of obedience lived out in a perfectly moral, unbroken body offered through bloody death as sacrifice. It was the shedding of the precious blood of God's precious, perfect Lamb that alone could free us from death by that precious Lamb's willing, innocent death. Peter tells us that even before the Father spoke his very first word of creation of this universe, the perfect Lamb of sacrifice had already been designated to do this saving work for us. He was only revealed at the perfect moment in human history when every ingredient was just right for our sake. Peter's words here echo the Apostle Paul's words from Galatians. Do you recall that portion of Scripture we read annually during the Sundays of the Christmas season where we are told, when the perfect time had come, God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem everyone under the law and give us all rights of sons in God's household? When we are face to face with challenging historical moments, it is vital that Christians always bring to their minds the most important historical moment that has ever occurred. It was a moment that lasted just over 30 years. It was the moment when God entered human history to become human, to live the human predicament, and to face temptation and heartache like every other human. In his moment referenced here by Peter, during which he was revealed by God to be the one chosen before time to offer himself as the perfect Lamb of sacrifice for every human sin, Jesus revealed everything you and I need to know about God. He clearly and completely exposed the emptiness of all man-made and man-centered religious thought and philosophy. His revealing of this eternal knowledge to the human race did not endear him to everyone. No, those most in power at the moment through the leverage of false religion were angered by his revelation of eternal truth, angered to the point of murder. But their ending of Jesus' life was the very tool God used to complete the sacrificial saving work of his precious lamb. By raising that lamb from the dead on the third day and placing him back on the throne of heaven, the Father declared Christ the victor and Savior that you and I so desperately need. He is the only Savior who can wipe away our sin and give us eternal life with him. He is the only one who can make that salvation a certainty day by day by day through this life and through whatever we may face in this life as it throws its challenges, losses, failures, and favors at us endlessly. So most years, on the third Sunday of Easter, you and I read these verses of Peter's first letter to the early Christian church, and we thrill to its heightening of our Easter joy and hope. Most years, we find a complete balance in these words to the suffering, the passion, and the loss of Lent and Holy Week that we observed and experienced so solemnly over the recent and long Lenten weeks. But this year we need this Easter reminder, this reminder of who is really large and in charge more than maybe at any other time in our lives. Yes, there are those among us who have lived through moments of war, pestilence, and deprivation as consuming of humanity as this moment is clearly also becoming. But it is these very moments of life for which we need Peter's reminder the most. Your faith and your hope are in God. Now let's deconstruct the truths of that last paragraph for just a moment. Have you caught on to how the moment we are living so vividly displays all that is wrong with the humanism our American culture and the world culture have clearly embraced? No human being, no human leader for certain, wants to take any blame for anything surrounding this pandemic. Yet at the same time, you and I are being assured that, while it may take some time, human beings and human ingenuity will be the answer to this pandemic. While we are waiting for that individual or that group of humans to find the answers, we are supposed to let another powerful group of human beings decide how we all should be living our daily lives. Now, not every human agrees with every idea other equally broken human beings decide are the best ways for us to live. And what you wind up with is a microcosm of what is wrong with our world in the first place. Human beings are not as smart, not as powerful, not as moral, nor as altruistic as the worldwide media culture, both professional and social, would like to lead you to believe. Humanity does not really hold the answer that we really need. In other words, as Christians, we know because we've been taught by the Word that human beings have never been and never will be everything we claim and expect ourselves to be. We are all sinful, selfish sinners at the core. We don't buy the humanism that our world is feeding us daily because we know the score the way God knows the score. Remember how our lesson began? God doesn't play favorites because he doesn't have favorites. God can't have favorites because he is impartial and sees every human being for what he or she really is, a sinner, a spiritually dead, blind enemy of God. But that is actually something we should all be thankful to be taught, because in his equally balanced impartiality, God has not played favorites in his saving plan either. Every sin of every human being has been paid for. Faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, who has no blemish or defect as the one and only eternal Savior of humanity, is available to everyone. It is the only thing that saves. It is the one and only path to eternal life. It is the only doctrine offered by any religion or philosophy that offers certainty of resurrection from death to an unending and glorious life after death. Christianity is the only religion that offers eternal life completely and only as a gift from God, paid for by God. And Peter reminds you here once again that the Father raising Jesus from the dead and glorifying him in that resurrection and his ascension is your receipt, your guarantee of all that God promises you regarding your own forgiveness, your own resurrection, your own eternal life. Stepping back from life as required by government guidelines may improve your odds of not getting a virus running wild in the world. Stepping back from life does not change your status with God, nor the desires or appetites of your body and mind that cause your challenges with God. So when it's all said and done, what do you fear? A virus? Or do you reverently fear the God of the universe, who is also your eternal brother, who has offered himself into death for your sins and to secure for you eternal life? Thank the Spirit that he made sure that this Easter reminder would be right here for you today, this day. Your faith and your hope, they are in God, and that changes absolutely everything about this moment in history, about you and I knowing and having life with God forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.